And I spent yesterday reading through the book of Jeremiah to make sure that I really understood what this book was about. And one of the things that stood out to me so much was just God's warning to prophets. And when I dance and we dance, we want to be a prophet. When I get up to dance, I want to bring a word from the Lord. I don't want to, we've talked about this before, I don't want people to say, oh, that's really kind of pretty, or that's very pretty, but that they would hear from the Lord through the movements of that I do or that the people who dance with me do, because I know that God's word brings life and it changes people. And I was reading in Timothy recently, it said, whenever you use your gift, whether you're speaking or serving or whatever you do, do it as if speaking the very words of God. So I really think that that's his desire for us. And so when I read in chapter 23, the Lord just rails against false prophets, I realized that I need to be careful, that if I am standing up when I want to bring a word from the Lord, I don't want to be a false prophet who misrepresents the Lord, who is looking to please the audience, but leading them astray and inviting God's wrath, because that's what some of the prophets in Jeremiah's time were doing. So how do we make sure that we aren't just being false prophets? Let me read from, this is Jeremiah 23, starting at verse 15. This is what the Lord said concerning the prophets who were speaking in Jeremiah's time. He said, actually I'm going to start in verse 16. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says you'll have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their heart, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath in a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Am I a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I've heard what the prophets say. What a prophecy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. That's verses 16 through 28 in chapter 23. So how do we make sure we aren't just being these false prophets? The first thing that we do is we seek the Lord with all our hearts. We read his word. We get familiar with his voice through the prophets, through the teachers of the law, through Jesus, through Paul. We want to be soaking in his word so that when a word comes to us and when something presses in on our hearts, we can test it against God's word and know, is this the voice of the Lord? Or is this my voice? Or am I wanting to speak or dance just what people want to see, what's going to please them? The first thing that a true prophet does is turn them from their evil deeds. He said, if they stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways, from their evil deeds. Now that's a big burden, but true prophets turn people from their evil deeds. False prophets promise quick fixes. In chapter 28, God corrects the prophet Hananiah. Hananiah had come right out and said, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, said. I'll break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has removed here and took to Babylon. He gave a very specific false prophecy. He said, we'll be back in 2 years. So false prophets promise quick fixes, but often God's promises of restoration are a long time in the making. When God spoke to Jeremiah, he said, I will bring them back. He always brings a word of restoration, but sometimes the restoration is far off. And God's word through Jeremiah did promise restoration to them. He said, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. So while sometimes any of us want to hear a quick fix, God's timing is his own, and we dare not alter that. And true prophets don't rush the promise of God, because sometimes what God needs to do in someone takes time. He needs to change our character, and that doesn't always happen in a short time. And so the pain may last longer than we would like, but he's always doing it to restore. But even if we do bring a word of correction, we need to know that the Lord always has restoration in mind. I was struck how over and over again he promised this devastation to the people, but he would always say, I'm doing this because I want you to repent. I want to bring you back to myself, and I want to restore you in the land. So know that whenever you bring a word, if you do bring a word of correction, God always means it for restoration. In chapter 31, The Lord says to Jeremiah, he hasn't even taken them into captivity yet. He's telling them he's definitely going to do it. But he tells in chapter 31, verse 27, he says to Jeremiah, he gives them this sign of restoration. He says, he gave him a dream, and he said, Just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down and overthrow, to destroy and bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and plant, declares the Lord. In those days, my people will no longer say. But then he goes on, sorry. And he even told Jeremiah before he took them away, but buy land here. Buy land in Israel, because I am going to bring you back, and I am going to plant you, and you are going to grow vineyards, even before he took them away. And it reminded me of in Genesis when the Lord brought the curse on Adam and Eve. Even then, he told them that one would come who would bring deliverance for his people. So my question for us this morning is, first, are you being corrected? Are you going through a time where the Lord is speaking through someone who you don't want to hear? I went through a time when I was so sensitive to criticism that I always found fault with those who criticized me. I would say, they're so judgmental. They don't understand, or they're so rigid. It took years for me to see that the Lord had something to say to me that would ultimately restore me. Jeremiah said in verses 10:24, he said, Lord, correct me. And in Psalm 145, there's this awesome verse that says, let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil on my head. I will not refuse it. So a true prophet is subject to correction and even invites it. And we can trust that if you're going through a time of correction, the Lord is doing that because he has restoration in mind for you. Or maybe you're being called to bring a word of warning. And if you're like me, that is not what I want to do. I like the words of encouragement. But are you being called to bring a word of warning? Maybe you've been seeking the Lord and you have this nudge to correct and it's not going away. Maybe you would rather not. You would rather not arouse someone's anger, or at least risk that. You tell yourself, who am I to judge? Who am I to speak into this situation? But the Lord has been speaking to you. I just encourage you to speak, to do it with gentleness, but be straightforward with the word the Lord has given you. I had a good friend when I was in my 20s. She was a new Christian, and she was so devoted to the Lord. And then she got a boyfriend, and she ended up moving in with him. And I thought, oh, Lord, I knew that wasn't the path that God had for her. And they were engaged, but they were living together. But I didn't want to say something. I didn't want to be judgmental. I didn't want her to take it the wrong way. But a friend encouraged me to speak to her. And so I said something. It was so simple. I said something like, you know, I didn't think that's what you wanted to do when you were really growing with the Lord. That was all I had to say. And the Lord took that, and he worked in her heart and brought conviction. And she made such a turnaround. They moved out from living together and stayed pure until their wedding day. And it just amazed me that the Lord took this tiny, gentle word and he brought amazing restoration to her. James, I'm going to close with a verse from James 5, where James, the Lord says, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." And so that is our privilege when we speak the words of God, that whether we do it gently or sometimes very straightforward, that the Lord would bring a turning of heart and a restoration to us and to the people that we speak to. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you speak to your people. I thank you that you speak and you speak and you speak. And even when we don't hear the first time, you continue to speak because you want us to turn around and to be restored and to be in right relationship with you, Lord, that you value us that much, that you love us. We thank you and praise you for that. We praise you that you can be both holy and pure and righteous and true and mighty and still gentle and faithful and forgiving and kind and merciful, Lord, that you are able to hold those things together because that's who you are. And so we praise you this morning. And Father, I pray a blessing on every woman who is on or man who is on this call today, that your spirit would be powerful in them, that you would give them power to speak your very words that would be life-giving to people, to dance your words that would be life-giving to people, yes, that would restore people to your amazing purposes, God. I pray that they would be bold and confident, where you call them to be bold and confident, that they would be gentle and humble in all that they do and say, and that there would be a harvest of righteousness and peace from their words and their dancing and their very lives, Lord. I bless them all in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. Please let us know this morning, how can we pray for you today?
Praise the name of Jesus, yes. Thank you so much for that, Amy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sometimes God wants to use our giftings and our prophetic, even our dance, even our speaking, our singing. He wants to use us, and he wants to take us places, and he wants to us to stand before great men for him and his cause.
Mm-hmm.
But are our hearts ready in a place where we can be corrected?
Mm-hmm.
So that we'll be accountable and we won't fall. That is so important. Praise God. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I'd like to pray today. I ask prayer for the family